RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Presiden Joko Widodo is to inaugurate 3 projects in Jayapura. Indonesia welcome election of France's youngest president. Indonesia and Russia jointly support in combating illegal fishing. And now the news in detail. Indonesia will participate in the Ocean Conference on 5 to 9 June 2017 in New York, USA. The Ocean Conference is a UN conference that will discuss the implementation of the 14 Sustainable Development Goals on life under the sea. Issues discussed are plastic waste in the sea, fisheries, illegal fishing, fisheries subsidy, and marine conservation areas. Deputy Minister for Maritime Sovereignty in the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, Arif Hafaz Oek Roseno, on Monday, May 8 in Jakarta, said the delegates are Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti. Minister Luhut was asked by the United Nations to become chairman of a maritime pollution-related dialogue. In addition, Indonesia will also voluntarily commit to safeguard the world marine.
Ya, diminta juga oleh PBB untuk memasukkan daftar voluntary commitment. Jadi komitmen voluntary, komitmen sukarela Indonesia.
Indonesia is also asked by the UN to include a list of voluntary commitments. So it is Indonesia's voluntary commitment in the world's maritime. Indonesia voluntarily declared to reduce plastic waste by 2025 to 70%. It is included there. Indonesia will voluntarily defend and will expand our maritime territory. Hafaz further explained, one of the Indonesia voluntary commitment is to complete the coral damage in Raja Ampat, Papua by MV Caledonian Sky vessel in March. This means that Indonesia has brought the issue to the UN level. Hafaz explained, this time his office along with the insurance of MV Caledonian Sky are still discussing the interpretation of economic losses. Indonesia is the host of the second IORA Blue Economy Ministerial Conference in Jakarta from 8 to 10 May 2017. The IORA Ministerial and Partners Meeting are a follow-up of the IORA Summit which was held in Jakarta in early March. This meeting is specifically about the blue economy. Deputy Minister for Maritime Sovereignty in the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, Arif Hafaz Oek Roseno, said the IORA conference was focused on discussing the implementation of the blue economic concept.
Merupakan suatu upaya bagi kita Indonesia. Ini inisiatif Indonesia bagi sesinya itu agar
it is an effort for us Indonesia so that IORA discussion or IORA document will not only start and end in the pile of documents, but in real and concrete activities that can have a direct positive impact for our community. Havas further explained the meeting will be conducted in three sessions, namely working session, senior official meeting, and ministerial meeting. The issues which are discussed in the conference are fisheries and aquaculture, interport cooperation, custom cooperation, marine tourism, and marine plastic waste. The working session held on the first day of the meeting discussed opportunity for cooperation in capacity building in fisheries and aquaculture, handling of illegal fishing, coral reef protection, cooperation and capacity building in handling terrorism. In addition, he added, in the working session also discussed about the potential cooperation between ports in IORA member countries and cooperation between customs in the Indian Ocean countries. The Blue Economy Ministerial Conference is scheduled to open on Wednesday, May 10, by Coordinating Minister for the Economy Luhut Panjaitan. The forum was attended by IORA KV Secretary General Bagirat, as well as minister from IORA member countries and IORA spokesperson in Jakarta. IORA is an international organization consisting of 21 countries in the Indian Ocean region. Indonesia is the host of the second IORA Blue Economy Ministerial Conference in Jakarta, held from 8 to 10 May 2017 in the ministerial meeting. Member countries, our IORA dialogue partners, will produce Jakarta Declaration. Deputy Minister for Maritime Sovereignty in the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, Arif Hafaz Oe Groseno. Arif Hafaz Oe Groseno said in Jakarta on Monday, May 8, that the declaration contains Indonesia's commitment to assist IORA member countries in strengthening capacity and information exchange. He views that it is form of Indonesian leadership in the Indian Ocean by providing concrete example that have been done by Indonesia.
Ya, kita akan membuat kita sudah draftnya sudah dibahas Jakarta Declaration.
We will make the declaration. The draft is already done, already discussed. Jakarta Declaration on Blue Economy. Later in the Jakarta Declaration on Blue Economy, there will be mentioned Indonesia's commitment to help countries in the Indian Ocean region, such as training, exchanging information, and training. Havas further explained the forms of training include fishery, marine tourism, plastic waste at sea, coral reef restoration, and tsunami early warning. Indonesia is one of the countries to be expert in coral reef restoration. On the first day of the IORA Blue Economy Ministerial Conference, Bank Rakyat Indonesia BRI presented a partnership program to assist small fishermen in the field of capture fisheries and shrimp farming. Hafaz also added that the financing model received positive response from IORA member countries because the financing model in Indonesia is not yet available in other countries. Bank Rakyat Indonesia, BRI, has provided credit assistance to 500,000 fishermen with a value of 14 trillion. This mechanism is very appealing to other IORA member countries. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Armananta Nasir said in Jakarta on Monday evening, May 8, that Indonesia welcomed the election of France's new and world's youngest president, Emmanuel Macron, who is 39 years old. He said Indonesia congratulated the government and the people of France over the peaceful election. He said Indonesia hoped with Macron's election, bilateral relations between the two countries would increase. He expressed Indonesia hopes strategic partnership between Indonesia and France could be further stepped up. Emmanuel Jean-Michel Frédéric Macron, who was born on December 21, 1977, won the election on Sunday with votes collected projected to reach around 65%. The former civil servant investment and pro-Europe politician defeated his only rival Marine Le Pen, who generated less than 35%. The bilateral relation between the Russian Federation and Indonesia has taken place since long time ago. Both countries have also cooperated in various aspects such as business, including cooperation in the field of fisheries. That was affirmed by Indonesian Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti, in her remarks at the celebration of the Russian National Day in Jakarta on Monday evening, May 8. Minister Susi said that Russia is one of the countries that support Indonesia in eradicating illegal fishing.
Russia has been a very good partner for Indonesia on combat the IUU fishing. Indonesia run the fight against illegal, unreported, unregulated fishing, and Russia is our close friend, supporting there.
On the same occasion, Minister Susi congratulated National Day to the Russian community in Jakarta and in the world. She also remarked that Indonesia and Russia also cooperate in a number of world organizations. The relationship between the two countries, which has reached 68 years, is getting stronger because Russia is a big country in Europe and Indonesia is the largest country in Southeast Asia. The cooperation is beneficial to both countries and contribute to the world at large. Seven Indonesian young researchers as the winners of Youth Scientific Competition LKIR held by the Indonesian Institute of Science LIPI in 2016 will join Intel International Science and Engineering Fair, or Intel ISEF, 2017 in Los Angeles and California, USA on May 14 to 19. They are students of senior high school or equal level that will compete with about 1,800 students from 75 countries in the annual competition. Head of LIPI's Public Relations, Nurtri Aris, to Voice of Indonesia on the sidelines of a release and audience with the winners at the LIPI Media Center in Jakarta on Monday, said the young researchers have received optimal guidance from LIPI's researchers. Therefore, they are expected to show their best from research they have conducted.
Mereka harus tenang, kemudian berjuang dan fokus.
They must stay calm and keep fighting and focusing. They must convince because it is them who know well about the research and they are also well prepared. The most important thing is they must increase their confidence to represent Indonesia, and they must also do networking because there will be 1,800 students. They must not only gather with their Indonesian peers. Meanwhile, Miranti Ayu Kamaranti, as one of the seven Indonesian young researchers, has a target to win at a scientific competition in the USA. However, she said the important thing is her research will be beneficial for the people. The last item, the University of Indonesia, or UI, teaching staff and student have successfully developed and created several outstanding research innovation that are indispensable for dealing with natural disaster. The university rector, Professor Muhammad Anis, stated at the opening session of the 2017 Scientific Research Meeting on Disaster in Depok, West Java on Monday, May 8, that Indonesia is an archipelago which is prone to natural disaster. He noted, among the outstanding research innovation are the autonomous marine vehicle of Makara 05 and the unmanned aerial vehicle quadcopter. Both were designed and developed by the UI student. The AMV Makara 05 is significant for handling disaster occurring on the surface and below waters, while the UAV quadcopter is helpful in finding the cause factors of bush and forest fires without involving the presence of the people on the ground. According to ANIS, the three-day scientific meeting officially opened by Vice President Yusuf Kalla is important and is expected to pave the way for the formation of Indonesia's roadmap of research on disaster. The meeting was attended by experts and scientists from UI, the Indonesian Disaster Expert Association, IABI, National Disaster Migration Agency, BNPB, Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics, BMKG, and the Research and Technology and Higher Education Ministry. Through the three-day meeting, the participating experts and scientists share knowledge, expertise, and experience in an effort to develop the country's science and technology in dealing with disaster and disaster mitigation. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Watch Out Radicalization in Campus. Issue on radicalization in Indonesia has spread in line with political developments that began to heat up. So what exactly is the meaning of radicalism itself? There are many definitions concerning the notion of radicalism. In Indonesian dictionary, for example, radicalism is defined as a school or ideology that wants changes or social and political renewal in a violent or drastic way. This definition continues to grow to include not only the changes desired by the left wing or the right wing in politics, but also it penetrates religious issue. Religious radicalism has rediscovered the momentum since mid-1980s when religions experienced a revitalism challenge, modernity and secularism. The movement of religious radicalism is like an enemy in disguise. If the past radicalist movement was only done in a revolutionary way, it now turns into a new way, namely in evolutionary way. In Indonesia, the government stance is seen through the Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education of Indonesia, Muhammad Nasir, when delivering a public lecture at the University in Semarang Central Java some time ago. Minister Muhammad Nasir asserted that university rectors should be able to detect radicalism entering the campus. Do not let the idea of radicalism infect lecturers and students. Fear of radicalism among students has been anticipated through the curriculum to prevent such understanding and movement by entering subjects that contain state defense and nationality insights on the four pillars of nationality, namely Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia, and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or Unity in Diversity. The government of Indonesia, through the National Agency for Anti-Terrorism, BNPT, in collaboration with universities, tries to eradicate radicalism on campus. Higher learning is a place to develop and cultivate the next generation who should not be polluted by negative things such as radicalization, drugs, and others. There should be awareness from all academic community to understand the dynamics in campus in order to detect radicalism earlier. It is for the sake of shaping and avoiding the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia from separation. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, our listener. Welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment of our Voice of Indonesia that brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with May 9, 1974, where the U.S. House of Representatives Judicial Committee opens a formal investigation into the Watergate scandal involving President Richard Nixon. The Watergate scandal is a term used to describe a series of political scandals in the United States involving President Richard Nixon and resulted in a horrendous constitutional crisis in the 1970s. During the election campaign, Republican Nixon supporters, the Committee for the Re-election of the President, installed a bugging device in the office of the Democratic National Committee. Because of the incident, on May 9, 1974, the U.S. House of Representatives Judicial Committee opened a formal investigation into the impeachment of President Richard Nixon. On August 8, 1974, President Nixon resigned. This incident also uncovered the facts about the Republican corruption in the collection of election funds, a secret list in the White House of his political opponents through phone taping, slander spread against Democratic presidential candidates, and others. Nixon became the only president of the United States who resigned. Let's switch to May 9, 1992, where Armenia attacks Azerbaijan. The Armenian army began its assault on Azerbaijan on May 9, 1992. The conflict between the two countries has stemmed from the ethnic Armenian desire who lived in the Nagorno-Karabakh region of Azerbaijan to liberate themselves since 1923. After the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, the conflict increasingly tapered over the intervention of the Armenian government. In 1992, Armenia began its invasion of Azerbaijan, resulting in the death of thousands of people and the displacement of 1.4 million. Although in 1993 a ceasefire was held, parts of Azerbaijan were still occupied by Armenia and the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict is still incomplete. Let's end today in history with May 9, 2012, where Sukhoi Superjet 100 plane crashed on Mount Salak, Bogor, West Java. On Wednesday, May 9, 2012, a Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft crashed during a flight demonstration or joy flight. The Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta, carrying 45 people. But not longer after that, the plane disappeared from the radar screen at an altitude of 1,900 meters. The following day, on May 10, 2012, parts of the Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft were seen on the cliff of Mount Salak, Bogor. The plane had hit a rock cliff in Mount Salak. The accident caused a total of 45 passengers killed. Based on the investigation results of the Indonesian National Committee on Transportation Safety, the crash of Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft was due to human error. Listener, that was today in history of Air Reliable Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I am Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Air World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Entitling, Indonesia's marine resources need to be managed optimally. Marine resources are the key to the welfare of Indonesian people, which has long been ignored. President Joko Widodo highlighted the potential in marine resources for Indonesia's prosperity in a speech during Mapan Retasi, a traditional sea celebration at Pegagan Beach in Tanah Bumbu, South Kalimantan, last Sunday. The president said, so far, Indonesia has not managed the marine sector properly. In the opinion of the president, Indonesia's wealth is at sea. So the marine resources are key to improving people's welfare and the economic equality of Indonesian people. According to government data, the economic potential of Indonesia's marine resources is worth around 17,000 trillion rupiah annually. Mapan Retasi, better known as the Sea Celebration, is a traditional festival of Bugis tribe passed down from one generation to another generation in Pegatan, Tanah Bumbu Regency, South Kalimantan. The name means to feed the sea.
General's map and ratasi is conducted by presenting certain types of foods to the sea, such as banana, white, black, yellow, and pink sticky rice, which symbolizes elements on earth, as well as a black rooster called Sikadi and a hen named Simanis, followed by a mass prayer. This year's celebration was attended by President Joko Widodo, accompanied by Mother Mariana and also Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi, as well as Presidential Chief of Staff Teten Mas Duki. In his speech, the President said, "This customary celebration is a proof that the identity, character, and culture of the Indonesian people are the nature of the nation and state of Indonesia, which is the maritime nation." On the occasion, the President also followed the customary process through the presentation of the custom fabric and embroidery belt. The President received the traditional title of Kapiteng Lau Pulo from Burhan Shah, chairman of the Tanah Bumbu Traditional Institute. Afterwards, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo walked to the dock to see a number of decorated sailing ships. Well, listener, that was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesia to take part in UN Ocean Conference. Indonesia will participate in the Ocean Conference on 5th to 9th June 2017 in New York, USA. The Ocean Conference is a UN conference that will discuss the implementation of the 14 Sustainable Development Goals on life under the sea. Indonesia is the host of the second AERA Blue Economy Ministerial Conference in Jakarta from 8 to 10 May 2007. The AERA Ministerial and Partners Meeting are follow-up of the AERA Summit, which was held in Jakarta in early March. Indonesia is the host of the second AERA Blue Economy Ministerial Conference in Jakarta, held from 8 to 9 May 2017. The ministerial meeting member countries and AERA dialogue partners will produce Jakarta Declaration. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Armananta Nasir said in Jakarta on Monday evening, May 8, that Indonesia welcomed the election of France's new and world youngest president, Emmanuel Macron, who is 39 years old. The bilateral relationship between the Russian Federation and Indonesia has taken place since long time ago. Both countries have also cooperated in various aspects such as business, including cooperation in the field of fisheries. Seven Indonesian young researchers as the winners of Youth Scientific Competition, or LKIR, held by the Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, in 2016, will join Intel International Science and Engineering Fair, Intel ISEF, 2017 in Los Angeles and California, USA, on May 14 to 19. The last item, the University of Indonesia, or UI, teaching staff and students have successfully developed and created several outstanding research innovations that are indispensable for dealing with natural disaster. The university's rector, Professor Muhammad Anis, stated at the opening session of the 2017 Scientific Research Meeting on Disaster in Depok, West Java, on May 8, that Indonesia, an archipelago which is prone to natural disaster. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia, wherever you are, thank you for joining the wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listen to the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th. And now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan. Takashi Kawai from Japan. Akio Uemura from Japan. Prithviraj Purkayasta from India. Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India. Adita Pritika Subramanian from India. Titong Yang from China. Kong Lei from China. Chao Yanping from China. And Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Tanjak, a typical Malay head cover. So stay tuned. Listener, Siak Regency, Riau Province, seeks to preserve Tanjak, a typical headband of Malay culture, among the community. This is done to revive the characteristics of the tribe. Tanjak conservation is done by applying Tanjak wearing policy among the state civil apparatus government in Siak Regency every Thursday and certain moments. Previously, the movement to wear Malay dress and language has also been applied in Siak District. The movement of wearing Tanjak is one of effort to popularize Malay culture among the local people or outside community. Wrapping the clothes on the head becomes characteristic of men in Malay mainland. The shape of clothes may vary, and the art of wrapping as well. In the life of Malay tribe in Riau, the clothes wrapped around the head is called tanjak, or also known with the name of ikat. Tanjak is considered to be a symbol of authority among the Malay community. The more higher and complex the shape of tanjak, the more higher the social status of the owner. Tanjak is commonly used by the Malay people of all layers of social strata, both in the royal environment of nobility and the laity. In the Malay people, once a man leaves from home, he usually wears tanjak. Its function as the head cover to protect from air disturbance, then it get more bright and stylish. Making more creative tanjak is initiated by Malayan people who are active in the field of hand gestures. The initial creations, namely collapsed cliffs, elephant trunk, chicken peel, Eagle Face, The Wind, and others. The name also adjusts to the shape of Tanjung. Listener, in terms of form, there are several types of tanjak or tai. There are called ikat sablit. In the environment of Siak Kingdom, the famous form of tanjak is the pile chicken. This is commonly used by the commanders. While the alang menyongsong angin or eagle buckle the wind, usually used by Datuk 50. Especially for the Datuk pesisir, they usually used hang tuah tai. Alang or eagle tai symbolizes the wisdom and precision in playing the motion of the wind, while hang tuah tai or hang tuah tanjak symbolizes firmness. In addition to the shape, the color is also very diverse. The traditional tanjak usually black, while for the bride it is derived to the clothes. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Tanjak, a typical Malay head cover. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is diet, or in English, diet. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, you can follow after me. Diet. Diet, in English, diet. Perut. Perut, in English, stomach. Lapar. Lapar, hungry. Makan. Makan, to eat. Sedikit. Sedikit, a little. Banyak. Banyak, many or plenty. Melihat, melihat, to see. Di atas meja, on the table. Makanan ringan, snacks. Tidak boleh, shouldn't or may not. Gemuk, gemuk, fat. Menahan, menahan, to hold back. Jangan, jangan, don't. Menyerah, menyerah, to give up. Mengingatkan, mengingatkan, to remind. Next is a conversation on diet, or in English, diet. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Ani at Anis. Saya lapar sekali. Saya lapar sekali. In English, I'm so hungry. Saya mau makan sedikit makanan. Saya mau makan sedikit makanan. I want to eat a little. Bukannya kamu sedang diet? Bukannya kamu sedang diet? Aren't you on diet? Jangan makan lagi. Jangan makan lagi. Don't eat anymore. Melihat di atas meja ada banyak makanan ringan, perut saya langsung lapar. Melihat di atas meja ada banyak makanan ringan, perut saya langsung lapar. Seeing so many snacks on the table made me hungry immediately. Bila kamu sedang diet, kamu tidak boleh makan makanan ringan. Bila kamu sedang diet, kamu tidak boleh makan makanan ringan. When you are on diet, you shouldn't take any snacks. Saya tahu kalau makan makanan ringan bisa jadi gemuk. Saya tahu kalau makan makanan ringan bisa jadi gemuk. I know snacks makes me fat. Tapi saya tidak dapat menahan. But I couldn't hold myself. Jangan menyerah. Don't give up. Apa yang kamu katakan memang benar. What you said is right. Terima kasih sudah mengingatkan saya. Thanks for reminding me. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present dangdut songs. Stay tuned.
Maukah kamu pacar aku? Bila
Listener, you have just listened to the song entitled Naksir. The song was dedicated by dangdut music group Manis Manja Junior. It tells the story of a girl who likes a man since the first sight. The song was composed by Sony JS and brought the rock and roll music genre of koplo dangdut, where dangdut music combined with rock and roll and koplo. The debut single of Manis Manja Group was released in early 2017. The video clip was just released on February the 1st on YouTube Maheswara Music Record channel. The song entitled Naksir was received quite well by dangdut music lovers in the country. In the first album, it turns out not only the new songs they spent, dangdut music group is also recycle old dangdut songs sung by Ina Cynthia entitled 5 Menit Lagi. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled 5 Menit Lagi by Manis Manja Junior.
Menit
Manis Manja Group is a famous dangdut group in the era of 90s. This music group consists of four beautiful women with a melodious voice, namely Ina Cynthia, Julia Citra, Putri Kania, and Kitty Andri. As they get older, they also have a successor named Manis Manja Junior. Manis Manja Junior is a teen dangdut vocal group founded on December 31, 2015. Manis Manja Junior consists of Ega Pragelia, Astrimida, Sinta Wulan, Ira Yunita, and Fuzi Indiana. Manis Manja Junior brings a concept similar to a girl band combined with energetic dance choreography while singing. Unlike other dangdut dance performances, Manis Manja Junior group dance creates a unique and harmonious choreography. On their first album, one of the old songs recycled, entitled 5 Menit Lagi. The song tells the story of a woman who become awkward while waiting for her lover to come pick up. The arrangement of song composed by Fazal Dutt, and it is not much different from the previous arrangement, but the song 5 Menit Lagi by Manis Manja Junior Group sounds more fresh. Well, listener, to conclude our music corner for today, let's listen to the song entitled Kasihan Delo by Manis Manja Group. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.